Welcome back to Kicking It Back. Today is, I'm not going to say a date because we don't know when this is going to air. Today we are welcoming on a new friend. This guy has some crazy stories, and we can even start with just the one on how he ended up in the studio today. Well, welcome to the show today, Jeff Anzo. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, hello, everybody. How we doing? Jeff Anzo. As he mentioned, how we kind of just met the other day was real funny. Followed the Kicking It Back podcast the night before. Following morning, I go into UXL and I get introduced to Jarrett here, and we just started chatting, and you know, these guys really make things happen quick, and we're back here today, Monday, within the week, just having some fun with it. So thank you for having me on today.
Of course. Of course. That's sick. So you followed us the night before.
Literally, I don't know, it might have been the night before, the morning of. I was like half asleep, I remember, and I followed y'all, and I think I followed you both specifically, and then literally me and Austin Smith were in the gym, and he's like, yeah, it's Jared Malio, and I was like, wait a second. I was like, that's a podcast.
So Austin's like, yeah, this kid's got a podcast. And then he said something about Jeff running this 100 miles, which we'll dive into. Jeff starts telling me a little bit, like, right away. And I'm like, hold up. I'm like, I don't mean to be rude here. I'm like, but can I, like, cut you off? I'm like, can we do this properly? And then Austin's like, he'd be a great person to have on. I'm like, that's where my brain's going right now. So I told Jeff, I'm like, yeah, let me take your number. I'm like, and we don't mess around. So I'm like, what are you doing next week? So then I texted you guys. I said, what time works Monday? Everyone was like, 9 a.m. Literally 3-4 days later, here we are sitting here. This is going to be fun.
We're blessed.
Yeah, I see Jeff today in the gym, and he's got a big smile on his face. He's like, you ready to roll today? You ready to roll? I'm like, let's do it, baby.
That's awesome.
Haven't been on something like that. Really, have never been a guest on a podcast. You know,
really?
As you
okay.
mentioned, I've had podcasts before, but it's like, I was really excited to just come in and have some fun and get to chat with you, too, and see where this takes us.
Without a doubt, bro.
So what was your podcast?
So my podcast, it's still up. You can find it. It's called Discover Yourself with Genuine Jeff. So basically, it was just giving people an opportunity to talk about how they found themselves. You know,
nice.
I think a lot of the times we don't openly reflect, or we don't reflect enough in general. So it's like, it's a place for you to kind of just dump your life out, share the challenges, share the growth. Because I think with mental health and well-being, the biggest challenge is it makes you isolate yourself, makes you think you're by yourself. You can't relate to anybody. You're only going through it alone. But that's just a bunch of fugazi.
Right.
You know, it's a bunch of BS. And the podcast was just a place for us to use our voice and be like, hey, like, I'm struggling over here. You're struggling. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? I did that for a couple years and just had some different guests on campus, and then actually helped the school, Ohio University, start their own podcast.
Really?
Wow, that's badass.
Yeah, so it was cool. I was able to take some of my own skills and really translate them to the school, which was like, I had to work on the ego in a sense, because it's like, okay, you might really want to work on your own stuff, but like somebody else is kind of calling you to the table right now.
Right,
like,
100%.
You know, so it was tough, but I also saw it as like, I can use that as an opportunity to develop my skills, so when I get back to my podcast, we'll be a little sharper.
Yeah,
you know?
For
so.
Sure. Dude, without a doubt. So you mentioned earlier, and then right there, that your school at Ohio University, they had a podcast studio for you. Tell a little bit about that, because that is something precedent. If Ohio State has it, they don't publicly show that,
no.
And we had no idea that that's a thing. So tell us about that.
Yes, so I think it's one of the I keep saying it, there's a lot of challenges with going to school and going to colleges.
Yeah.
And OU had a state-of-the-art podcast studio, but like you said, these things aren't actively promoted, or there's so many things promoted that it's like, how do I focus on where, like, you get lost in the sauce of
it.
Yeah,
right.
So what was cool is they just had this beautiful state-of-the-art studio in the front of Schoonover, their comms building. So like, if whatever campus you're on, look into the communications department, because these studios can sometimes be tucked away, they can be hidden, and you think that maybe you only have to be a comms student to use it, you don't. When I filled out the sheet to get in there, the only thing, caveat is like, a comm student could boot you if they have a project for class. But I mean,
that's understandable.
That's respectable.
Right.
If you got an assignment, we'll let you in there. But other than that, I mean, nobody was using the studio. I mean, it is open from like 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. And I was just able to, I'd come in and I'd reset a time for every single week for 16 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And like,
nice.
It just became like a habit.
That's freaking awesome.
Wherever you're at, whatever school you're attending right now, exhaust those resources.
Like, for sure.
We are paying for tuition, but we're also paying for the amenities that school offers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We had the union facility fee, and I don't think I ever went in the union. Besides, I went in, I was on a walk one day, and I took a pee in there, and I was like, man, that was an expensive pee. Like, you know, you're thinking about it, like, I'm paying into that tuition. I've never once been in there.
Yeah.
It's wild. But yeah, so when Preston and I started our podcast, it was after COVID. Yours was before COVID when you started your podcast, correct? It was 2019-ish?
It was. maybe even 2018. It was in my undergrad, so I was like, I just graduated with my master's the past 2 years, so this was maybe, I think it'd be like 2018, 2019, okay. Around then.
Yeah, and then when was your the last episode you filmed? Because you said you currently aren't doing it, but
dude,
it's something.
It was before, it was actually before my first 50-mile race, I think.
Okay, wow.
So that's actually funny. We're here today to talk about the 100-miler because I had to let a lot of shit go.
Yeah.
To be able to do that.
I bet.
And that was tough. You know, it was a humbling process.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to run 100 miles, you got to run 50, right?
You know, you got to run one.
You got that right.
Sure. You got to take one step.
Yeah. So let's dive into the running. All
right.
So
right.
Yeah, we run a mile, and Preston and I are puffing. He's got actually a cool. He ran a marathon.
Props.
Yeah.
Props.
Anybody who does that, I give mad props to. I told my girlfriend and her family the other day, if I ever run a marathon, you guys need to check on me because I think I'm in like a midlife crisis, and you guys need to like help me. I literally just said that. But yeah, so when did this running habit start?
Curious, what marathon did you
Columbus.
Run? Columbus? Nationwide. Nice. Yeah. So big city marathon field, that's right. Yeah. I haven't got to do something like, I did Athens marathon, but it wasn't that big, but like that's really cool.
My marathon story is probably a little bit different than your running. I did it off no training.
Hey, that's actually more, that's
his pace.
That's more my pace right there. Just throw yourself
dead
in the ringer.
I didn't want to be there halfway through it, but.
Unbelievable you guys finished that. I still can't get over that. They paid for it, and they were like a week out, and they were like, well, if we paid for it, we might as well go.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Halfway through, so we had this training plan, whatever. As you know, there's probably like weeks of training leading up to it. First week, last day of the first week was like 6 miles. Ran it. Worst shin splints of my life. I'm like, fuck this. I'm not running the marathon. Week before, we're like, you know what? Let's just run it. Why not? We paid for it,
dude. But what's funny? You finished, right?
We did.
That's what's wild.
Before they kicked him off, too.
Before the time cut off.
Yeah.
No, running's wild, you know, and it's funny. You might be like, oh, this kid must have been running since he was seven.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I hated running. I was like that kid on the football team in fourth grade. I can vividly remember it now. I was crying because we were doing conditioning, and I had my dad, like, come pick me up and, like, almost pull me out of practice early. So, like, running has not been in my forte until, what was it, the fall before COVID, so fall of 2019, I was supposed to run a marathon with my brother.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, like, you've been training for it. He's like, I'm coming down this weekend. And I was like, oh, well, like, I don't have shoes. I hadn't been training shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I don't have shoes. He's like, I'll buy you a pair of shoes. Like, let's go. And I was like, oh, so he doesn't, like, want me to get out of this. And unlike you, I backed out.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really shitty feeling. My brother came to Athens, was supposed to run it with me, was fired up to run it with me.
Yeah.
And I had to take him and watch him run while I sat on the side. And to me, like, I have a video of it. I hated that taste because it was the first time I realized I was just a lazy piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't anything that stopped me besides my own work ethic and discipline. And my parents have, like, those were two things that they really placed in me. And for me to, like, fault on that was, like, damn. So I didn't run it with him, but I had this taste in my mouth of just, like, this sucked, and I didn't want to forget that feeling. So the following spring, right when COVID happened, I was like, I'm doing a marathon.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get right, like, the goal fell off the wall. We're going to staple it back up, mm-hmm. and we're going to try this again. And it was funny because it was tough. There was no marathons because it was COVID.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I literally had to just tell my buddy to go sit in his car, and I was like, I'm going to go run 26 miles, and, like, when I find you, like, give me some water or something.
Yeah.
And so I just, like, that May, I went out into Stroud's Run. It was so hot, dude. I actually didn't bring water. I only brought Tailwind, which is, like, a sugar drink.
Yeah.
For runners, but, like, you need to have water.
Yeah.
And it was, like, I think it took me, what, six hours? A good 6 hours, and it was just wild. Like, I was running. I remember I was mile 18 in. My headphones died, and I started to learn, like, I learned I was too dependent on music.
Yeah.
But, like, there was a five-year-old in the woods who looked at me when I was panicking, and he goes, why are you running? And I was just, like, baffled, and I couldn't answer the question at first, you know? I was like, why am I running? And it was funny that, like, a five-year-old triggered the question to help me finish the last 8 miles, but as soon as I finished, it was, like, I just started crying, and I was like, well, what could we do more? Like,
right.
Can we do more?
Yeah.
Because we did do this with, like, no education, no knowledge. It was sheer just like hammer some miles out. And as soon as I finished that first marathon, I think I became addicted or like obsessed.
Yeah.
I really became obsessed with it. And it was like, okay, like how can we push a little bit farther? And I remember saying, you know, oh, we'll probably stop at 50 mile races and not go beyond that. And here we are 2 years later, just finished 100 miles. So I'm like, kind of just need to shut that voice up and just kind of see where this takes me. But it's kind of how we got into this.
So I got to ask, that first time you ran that marathon, did you experience runner's high? Because for me, you hear runner's high. Until you are running, you don't know that feeling of runner's high. I was around mile 8, and I was like, my legs are moving so fast right now, and it doesn't feel like I'm even trying to move them. It is the weirdest feeling in the world.
It feels like a flow, but you feel almost numb, but your body's electric.
Yes.
Yes.
That is such a good way to explain it.
So I truly believe that the runner's high is a state or a feeling of euphoria.
Yeah.
And euphoric experiences, you know, we can have them through drugs, but I think we can have them through very natural experiences such as running, exerting, changing our physiological state.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a runner's high is a really fun thing to work towards because, you know, you do realize that like you get into that high and pain goes away.
Yeah.
You know, everything just kind of shuts down and your body is just in this primal state.
Yeah.
And it is fun.
Yeah. You know what it like? It's crazy.
Because it's highs and lows, right? You probably had multiple experiences of that runner high, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Interesting. So I want to step back too. So you said you got addicted to it. You finished that first marathon, you got addicted. Why did you get addicted? What did you get addicted to? Was it just the finishing? Was it just the idea of working for something? I don't know. Like, I want to know, like, what you think. I mean, you might not even know, but
it's the filtration process.
Okay.
So, like, I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's why I think having a goal, whether it's running or not, for me, it's running because, like, I realize God has given me two legs that can move and a mind that can hang out with itself. And that's why I start, like, very started running is when I was in high school, I hated spending time alone. I would hang out with people I didn't like because I didn't want to listen to the voice inside my own head.
Yeah.
Running's the exact opposite. How much time can you spend with yourself and be your best friend and just like hang out in there? So that's kind of how like one of the additional reasons I got into it. But then your question was, Jarrett,
why the addiction to it?
So the filtration process. Why I think it's so beautiful is like I have struggled in the past with depression, anxiety, Ohio University. Great school, but let's not be naive about what goes on in colleges.
Yeah.
It's like
it's
easy to get pulled into substance abuse, alcohol abuse, you name it.
Yeah.
People are, it's the crapshoot.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, I needed something. I was like so desperate for something to give me a reason to tell people no on Saturdays.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like the biggest drinking day, let's go out and booze. And like, I was getting pissed because I would build my energy up and feel great on Thursday, derail it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we'd restart it. And I got really sick of that. But what I found is like to be an ultra runner, I have to literally pick drink on Saturday or run 20 miles on Saturday. You can't do both.
Yeah.
Especially if you got to turn around and do it again on Sunday.
Right.
So to me, the more large my running goals became, the more things I had to just say fuck that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like we talk about FOMO, like the fear of missing out on the party, the fear of missing out on the girl, the hookup, this, that. What about your dream?
Right.
You know, and I started thinking about like, what if we had something to leverage against going out? And I think I didn't have anything. So it was easy to fall into, you know, I'll say yes to anybody for anything.
Right.
Because I had nothing. What's the one quote? You stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
That's
true. And it's just like running was the filtration process that saved me, like literally saved my life.
That's awesome.
Like I've struggled with like thoughts of self-harm and shit like that. And it's like running's the one thing that's just ultimate self-love.
Yeah.
You know, for me at least, and to each their own. But I think if we can find a goal that propels us enough, you know, it can really like help, like rather than me having to worry about changing 100 micro habits, if I have one big goal, it'll just work itself through those things on its own.
For sure.
And to me, I'm just like, I still have shit I'm trying to work through.
Yeah.
You know, like I still have some habits I'm trying to let go of, and with new levels comes new devils. You know, that's another quote I really enjoy. And it's like, okay, I want to be in Boston Marathon. What am I going to have to sacrifice to get there?
Yeah.
You know, I've like, it's just fun, man. And it's fun.
You know, we've had a lot of guests on, and all respect to them, but that might have been the best answer I've ever gotten to a question. And I'm not trying to, like, toot your own horn here, but I am, but... That was really good the way you just broke that down, because I felt like I was in your brain there for a little bit. So that was damn good.
That's awesome.
So after that marathon, you're addicted. You said you got addicted.
I don't think I knew I was addicted.
Okay. Right.
I don't think I did. I think until this, to finish this 100 miler, I had to admit I had an obsession and let it take over. Because until then, many people, and that's where it's hard when I share my mileage with people, because I'm like, I ran a 50 miler and then a 2 54s after that, and I was pissed. And people were like, dude, like, you ran 54 miles. I'm like, I'm comparing me to who I was yesterday.
Right.
If I ran 50 miles last time and I only got 54, right, like, I fucked up, in my opinion. Like,
you didn't grow.
What I mean? And it's easy for people to be like, you know, and that's where it's a healthy comparison.
Yeah.
You know, you compare yourself to you. If you only ran a mile yesterday and you do 1.2 today, kudos. Like, that's a huge fucking win.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I wasn't addicted at first, and then it slowly... I think it's funny. You can still run 50 miles and not be, like... Let me just explain the story. The second time, I went to run 50, I got I was, like, disrespectful towards the goal itself.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I ran 50. Like, oh, I could double it and do 100, 24 hours. Like, I didn't level up my training. I trained the same exact way 3 days before the race. I got the most lit I ever was. Like, I went out on St. Patrick's Day and got blasted.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, I was running a backyard ultra, which these things are badass. So it's a 4.1-mile loop, and you run it every hour on the hour until there's one person left. And 100 people start this thing.
That's badass. Wow. It's like King of the Hill.
Dude, it's King of the Hill, and there's literally no end. And the winner went 228 miles. He ran for...
Oh, my God.
And then he went on to set the world record and ran 360, which was now just broken. It's 370. But, like, there's some savages out there.
No, that is disgusting.
Like,
that is stupid to think about.
Race starts Saturday. He finishes Wednesday night.
He had to make a phone call. Tommy wasn't coming in Monday. It's like, hey, I'm going to be a little late Thursday.
Is someone with them at all times?
So that's what's the backyard style is what I love. Because think about it like human NASCAR. You got a loop course that you run during the day. And then at night, you hop onto a road and you run down and backs.
Okay.
So during the day, though, like where the corral, it's called the corral.
Yeah.
So you have dozens of tents and crews just waiting there, cooking food. Runners finish a lap. You got 6 minutes, per se, to start the next lap. Your crew is like, pop your shoes off, rubs your feet down, puts some food in you, fills up your hydration packs, and sends you on your way. And
wow.
It's just like one after another. But I took this, like, once again, I didn't take my goal serious of trying to go beyond 50 miles to get to 100. And I went out 3 days before this event, and I was just so ashamed because I just threw 8 months of training down the trash.
Like,
I went out. I was dehydrated to start the race.
Yep.
Still somehow pulled off 54 miles.
Before you continue, what does that training look like up to this point?
So for me, 2.5 weeks prior, I ran Roaring Gap 50K in North Carolina. So it's just sheer mileage.
Okay.
You know, so like training for distance like this, you do a lot of your speed workouts and things during the week. You can shorter mileage, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 during the week. And then on the weekends, those are your heavy mileage days. Back-to-back runs are the most important thing because you need to re-simulate the pain cave.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to get used to running when your legs feel fucked.
Right.
You know, right. So part of that is, like, run 20 miles on Saturday, wake up, do it again. And everything I've read has talked about how you can miss a run during the week and, like, be okay. But if you miss those long runs, what you're really losing is psychological confidence.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Oh, I haven't touched this distance in months. You know, that can, like, 26.2, why I respect that distance, or any distance really, is because if you lose consistency, that will become hard again, you know? So training is, like, it's a consistency game. And what helped me get to 100 miles here was I had to start a run streak. And it's the first time I was able to hold it. And I've been, every day I've ran since February 1st. So I'm, like, on a 134, 35-day run streak.
Wow. Do you have like pain, like shin splints? Like how does that like just stretching? Like what's the secret?
So the secret?
Like COVID hit, I started running because there was nothing else to do. And I'm a terrible runner. And the one day I remember I got 5 miles and I was like, that is the most I've ever ran in my life. Swear to God, I was like so fucking proud of myself.
As you should be though.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's, you know, compared to my past, that was a growth. I remember waking up that next fucking morning being like, what? I felt like I got hit by a fucking car. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
How do you just go again? You just wake up? Like you said, you just go? You go do 5.5?
It's taken years to get to that point. For me to be able to wake up and do it, it's taken several years. Yeah. And what I love is people don't see the month of January, where every day I'd wake up, I'd be on a 3-day streak, and I'd quit. I'd fail. I wouldn't get up. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And like, if you look at January, it was just like that. 3 days on, 1 day off. 4 days on, 1 day off. And I was getting just pissed about it.
Yeah.
And the main thing that helped me run every day was understand you need gears. Mm-hmm. And I think this is good for just life in general. Is you can't go at a 7:10 sprint every single day and expect your legs to feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
Without a doubt.
So there's days where I had to really tell myself, like, it's okay to run a 12 to 13 minute mile for 4 miles and have a true recovery run,
right.
You know? So I had to start playing with some different gears. And then like the other thing too, that's really kind of helped me is, you guys got me here. So like what I've been going through is back in January, my mom got diagnosed with cancer. So the past 4 to 5 months, it's been the hardest of my life.
Yeah.
Like I've watched my mom age 35 years and 6 months as a 25-year-old. And I know other people have gone through that, and it's just been tough, you know? So for me, it's put pain into perspective of like, am I really bitching about my quads hurting?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like watching my mother go through some of the most excruciating pain, go through 3 surgeries in 6 days. And like in my 100-mile race, that's literally what I was thinking about. I was like, other people are suffering so much harder and you're inviting this in.
Yeah.
So who the hell am I to bitch about it?
Right.
You know, A, I'm inviting this in, and B, it's nothing compared to significant loss like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And it wasn't, and I think like, I think it's funny that I started my streak when this shit like kind of started to come out with my mom and everything. And it was just like, it put it into perspective, just really put it into perspective. And then the big question came out of, can I actually not run a streak? Or am I actually just not willing to do what is required to hold the streak?
Yeah.
You know, and that, like, a combination of that question and watching what's been going on with my family has been just really tough. And it's like, you know, I think it has made me age.
Yeah.
Age a little quicker than I anticipated.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's... I don't know how we got there, but...
Yeah, no, respect, yeah, that takes, especially with two guys you just met, you know, me last week and Preston 25 minutes ago, I don't know, that might have been generous.
That's kind of what got me through my marathon. It was the Nationwide Children's running down the 13th mile. You look left and right, there are thousands of kids with cancer cheering you on. Who the fuck am I not to finish?
Dude.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
It's like, they didn't choose that. I'm standing here choosing this. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I have to finish.
To help you're doing it as something for fun, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's like, it's, and what I realized is somebody told me, and running's I learned running's a privilege.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to spend hours, and that's what's been tough is like I've been having to like really make sure I'm home at certain times. Mm-hmm. I've had to try to run a little earlier because like to run, especially on the weekend, you're spend 5 hours a day, that's 10 hours on the weekend. Like, not everybody has 10 hours.
You're
people
right.
are working to put food on the table and do these things. So to be able to run, I just like to acknowledge it is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And I had somebody tell me, like, you got to run 100 miles. And I was like, damn. He goes, he was telling me how he's dealing with some, like, leg pain and, like, knee pain, a friend of mine. And he's like, I couldn't, he goes, I don't know if I could do that. You know, just because of those, like, those little, I don't know what you call them, little just, doses of adversity. Like everybody is given a different deck.
Yeah,
and it really is a blessing that I was able to do something like that.
Yeah,
put the time into something like that.
You got that right, dude. The one time I was on, this was one of my first weeks on Ohio State's campus. So we went to the Mansfield campus for 2 years. Third year was COVID.
Okay.
So third year, you'd walk around campus. It was a fucking ghost town. There was nobody out. The only reason I was on campus is because I walked to the gym and back. That was the only time I stepped foot on campus. One day, it was nice weather. I remember this. So this dude running with the shirt on, he's flying, right? He passes me. He had one leg. He had one actual leg. He had the mechanical, I don't know what the proper term is, but prosthetic, on the other leg.
Prosthetic,
yeah. But it was like the metal, you know what I mean? They have like a runner one. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got like the
hook. It's got like a hook, yeah. Yeah, I've seen sprinters. Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure. This guy went flying by me, and I was walking, and I was just like, damn, like, that dude woke up this morning, like, this campus is completely empty, and he's just out on a run. It was just unbelievable to see that, and like you said, it's like kind of like, who the fuck am I? Like, yeah. That's
exactly. It puts it in
perspective. If that guy can get up, that's, yeah, you're right, though. It's unreal.
And that's like, I think that's a whole nother fun thing to talk about is like just that raw, you know, we hear a lot about self-love.
Yeah.
Oh, go love yourself. Take yourself on a date. What about looking yourself in the mirror? And I had to learn this and being like, you need to get your fucking shit together.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is the greatest form of self-love, is self-honesty.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and it took me a while because like we can look ourselves in the mirror and lie to ourselves every single day. You know, oh, I did enough. I ran a mile. I did this, or I got 20 minutes of exercise in, but like, could you do more?
Yeah. What,
you know,
what you said about spending time with yourself, that was amazing. I think that is, that's something that when you really think about it, how much time do you truly spend with yourself thinking on your own?
Yeah.
It's not much when you think about it.
You know,
we're constantly with people.
Oh yeah.
How often are you alone with your own thoughts? And when you are alone, how hard is it to combat those things that you are worried about? And just be chill.
Yeah. And I think cell phones is an interesting fact. I love phones, right?
Right.
You stay connected. But, like, that is the key to not having to talk to yourself.
Yeah.
You could sit there and scroll for hours and just focus on
and that doesn't count.
Else. No, you're that's right. Not alone time. Yeah. That's alone. I'm talking alone time.
Right. You're with more than you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And why I thought running was so powerful is it removed my bias.
Yeah.
Which was nuts. Like, I used to be, like, I'd get into an argument, and I'd be like, oh, I'm Mr. fucking right, and I have, you know, this person's in the wrong. I'd go on a 13-mile run, and I'm too tired to argue with myself try to hold up my side of the argument. Yeah. It's like, no, dude, you fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to apologize after this run. You need to take some action to correct the situation.
Right.
And that was another thing I really enjoyed is I'm like, I get really vulnerable when I run.
Yeah.
And that to me is like important. You know, I need to like break my walls down and get to the core of what's going on.
Yeah. How present do you feel when you're running? That's something, I don't know if you know Johnny DeJulius, but he's come on our show a couple times. Look him up on Instagram. He jumps out of planes.
Oh, Jared was, okay,
yeah, that Jared awesome was talking about too.
So something that he says is that when he's about to jump out of a plane, he is so fucking present. He doesn't care if his girlfriend's cheating on him, what's going on outside. All you care about is what's going to happen when you jump out of that plane. And I feel like, is that something you can relate to when you're running?
100%. So running's like mindfulness. It is. I think running literally could be a form of meditation and mindfulness because you just like, you are so in the moment. And if you're not in the moment, especially if you're trail running, and that's like why I think there's a subtle difference between trail and pavement running, you will trip on the trails if you're not 100% dialed in.
Yeah.
You'll trip on a root. You'll trip on a rock. But like pavement running, you could still kind of get by of just like looking at everything around you and not being in the present moment.
Yeah.
But I think being fully dialed in is what allowed me to complete the 100 miler.
Yeah.
You know, because if I was thinking about mile 86 on mile 2, I would be so psyched out. But I did a really good job of, I broke this race down into a spreadsheet and I focused on one segment at a time. You know, you got a 4.3-mile stretch ahead of you. You got to go up, down, up. And I made it so simple. So in my head, I wasn't focused on 89 miles ahead. I was focused on going up, down, up.
Wow.
You know, so I literally just made it so childlike to where, you know, and then on this spreadsheet, I had everything for my one-man crew to give me. I was like, you need to have an egg sandwich, some Oreos, some gummies for me. And like, it was like clockwork.
Yeah.
I would come in, he'd give me what I need, and I've never felt stronger.
Who was that person for you?
My buddy Ryan Loper. He's never been to like in an event like this. And it was funny. I was supposed to have two other crew members, supposed to have three people total.
Yeah.
And like two people unfortunately backed out the week of. It was stressful. I was prepping the whole week by myself. Met with Ryan on Friday. We were supposed to meet early in the morning. He had something, an emergency come up. And so we didn't even like get together until 5 o'clock the night before the race.
Wow.
And he had no idea like the course map, well, the layout.
Yeah,
the layout. So we're the night before the race, I didn't go to bed till 1 and had to be up at 3. you know? So, like, I got 2 hours. My last full night of sleep before starting on Saturday was Thursday. And we just stayed up. We grinded, and he came in, and that man stayed up for 30, like, the race was 28, but he was basically up for 30-something hours straight with me.
Unreal.
That's awesome.
And he didn't sleep at all. And my brother, shout out to him, he ran the marathon during the day.
Yeah.
Placed 10th overall, first in his age group.
Shit.
Awesome.
Went home, took a nap, met up with me at 2 in the morning to help out crew a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he actually ran the last 14 with me to pace me to the finish.
Wow.
So my brother set a PR of hitting 40 miles on the day, like for his first like distance.
Shit.
But I was like, it was really cool to see like everybody so invested in the mission of
that's
like
awesome.
We're gonna do whatever we can to help Jeff finish.
Yeah.
And that was just like, and I'm getting texts from my other brother while I'm running. He's like, I just hit a PR for my half marathon today, and I'm just like, give me water.
Yeah.
But it was wild, dude. I was really blessed to have like. Some people had to actually quit back out of the race because they didn't have a crew.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn, like, my buddy, he's like, dude, I don't care what happens. He's like, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And he was. And
that's awesome.
Nuts, bro. That is fucking sick. I have goosebumps. I don't know. It's just, so the eating, I want to step back and say, hey, well, how did you figure out what you needed to eat, when you should have eaten it? I feel like that's
can
a science.
Can we do leading up to it first?
Yeah.
Let's talk about eating and drinking leading up to it.
Like the week of, the month, like...
Yeah. You start. How far out does prep start?
Yeah.
This prep started 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
for being legit, like, after I ran that first 50 and was like, okay, what's it going to take to get to 100? You know, I talked about not respecting the goal. I didn't experiment enough with my nutrition.
Yeah.
When I first started, I was trying to do all whole foods, like PB&Js, like just whole slow digesting foods.
Yeah.
And I also was following some calorie marks, which was like 250 calories an hour. Which I found is like a third of what I actually need. I was following nutrition marks from a female runner.
Yeah.
Even though she was a professional runner, I thought like, oh, like, I don't know, I could apply it.
Right.
And the first two times I attempted to go 100 miles, I was, well, the one time I was hungover, so I had kidney inflammation. Like, my kidneys started swelling.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the bathroom for 14 hours. My body was like, literally, like, could have been shut down.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it wasn't good.
Yeah.
you know, that was scary. I think when leg pain in your quads, you can hammer through, but when it's like internal organs feels like it's off, like that's something I think all runners be mindful of. It's okay to like sacrifice the day and come back another.
Yeah.
But then after that, you know, when it comes to hydration, nutrition, I started really experimenting. And it wasn't until about maybe a month and a half before this 100-mile race that everything came together. I met this kid at a 50K. His name's Dylan Denner. Met him at a 50K in Athens, Ohio. And we talked for 5 minutes, hit it off enough, and we ran two marathons back-to-back, I think a weekend after, out at Mohican just to, like, feel out the course, try some nutrition out. And I watched this kid who's, like, half, like, it's, like, yeah, not as big as me, and this dude's eating apple fritters and Coca-Cola and cookies on the run. And I'm like, dude, like, you prepping this for tomorrow? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, I got to try something because I don't have my nutrition down yet. So I went with him and we started eating apple fritters, Coca-Cola, sour gummy worms, like straight junk food, dude. Stuff that's not in my normal diet.
Yeah.
But it worked. It's simple sugars. People been telling me for a year and a half, like, dude, try eating Twizzlers, try eating Skittles. And I'm like, nah, like, my body doesn't handle candy well. Like,
yeah.
Come to find out, that's BS. My body did phenomenal off apple fritters.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I literally could feel myself. There was a point where I started to get really off mentally, physically. Stomach was low.
Yeah.
I got to an aid station, hammered some pancakes, and everything came right back.
Wow.
Like, my mental sharpness came back, and I was like, let's fucking roll. But, dude, it's literally an eating contest.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. I burned 15,000 calories. Think about that.
15 fucking thousand calories.
That's like what people eat in a week.
I was just going to say, I don't think I eat that in a week. I think I'm right around 14,000 if I like tracked it up.
Yeah. And that's like, burning 15,000, not including like the normal three meals you need to eat in a day.
That's so where I fucked up for my marathon. Like, I had double leg cramps and I need a thing.
Yeah. So it was food. And then I also take, I have sodium and potassium tablets.
Wow.
So I take it like clockwork. Every 45 minutes, I'm taking 1 to 2 tablets. And then I found the actual calorie mark I needed to be at was 600 to 700. So the races before where I was doing 200, 250 calories, I was so malnourished, it wasn't even funny. You know? And like, I thought I was overeating.
Yeah.
I was so undereating. And I was like, damn.
What does water intake look like? Leading up to and during?
The Pacific Ocean.
Drink everything.
Lake Erie.
So hydration, the week of, you just double down on fluids. You know, just drink a ton of fluids. I try to drink some Nut Noon. It's like N-U-U-N, immunity drinks.
Okay. I was thinking High Noon, so I'm like, attaboy.
Bang out some Nooners and we're rolling.
But you're going to have to be in the Portnoy commercial soon. You come running by, Nooners.
Dude, no, I wish, man. And that was what was different is I really had to give up alcohol for this last attempt at it because, I mean, you know what it's like to get really hungover. Your body's off for days.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, so within the within 2 weeks out of the race tapering, you know, they call it the taper tantrums. You're running a lot slower than you normally do. You're super, like, trying to be on your health as much as possible. So we're doubling down on waters, carb loading pretty much the entire week of the race. It's not just that, you know, in high school how we all like, oh, we have pasta on Thursday night for the game Friday. I found out that's actually just BS. Like, we need to be eating carbs multiple days prior so we have time for the carbs to actually move into the system.
Right.
You know, so it was a lot of eating, a lot of just hydration and just, like, letting the body relax. And it was funny. I felt like my body knew war was coming.
Yeah.
Like, your legs start twitching and shit because you're not moving as fast. It's interesting.
That's
wild.
So I got to ask. I want to just ask about this. I know we were talking a little nutrition. So you said the goal was 100. You get 100. Does that fuck with your brain a little bit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the goal now? Is it just set a new goal? Or is it like, fuck, what do I work for now? Because you just already got the goal that you just said was kind of your dying. You know, like, no. That's what you fucking set out for when this started was I'm going to get 100. You get fucking 100. Now is it like, you know, you're 25.
You got bigger races.
Yeah, for sure.
No, but that's what's exciting. So I, like you said, I am 25, and I think I told you I was the second youngest to finish this race.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Right? And if you look at the average age of the winners of this thing, the winner was 35. I mean, from top 10 list, it was ages from 35 to 55.
Yeah.
For me to be 25, I'm licking my fucking chops. Yeah. Right? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, you give me 10 years, I'm going to be running circles around some of these people.
So I got to ask, is like, I feel like your prime physically is from like 25, 28, maybe until you're 30. Is running different?
The average ultra runner, man, is like 43 to 45.
Is that crazy? Like, I feel like that's insane to me that that's like, when you think of LeBron was in his prime at 28, right? I mean, that's one of the best athletes in the world. Why is running different?
So the one hunch I have for it, because I think about that all the time. I'm like, we're all like out of the age range to be like pro athletes and like the typical, you know, basketball sports. Right. Like, you got to be on that from a child. Mm-hmm.
Got to be mental.
Dude.
Right?
Well,
the fucking psychological, you just fucking said, I don't know, that's just instantly what came to mind. It's got to be like, you're 45 and you've been doing it for so long. It's like,
so let me put it like this. The one guy who finished this race, it was his 27th time finishing. It's a 33-year-old race. This man was the only person to be in, like, the 2000 club. And, like, these people are so humble, though, because I looked at him and I, like, congratulated him during the race. I was like, great job on, like, number 27. And he looked at me. He's like, we're not done. I was like, he goes, we didn't finish yet. And I was like, he goes, it could not happen. And I was just like, damn.
Okay, like, sorry.
I was like, sorry. But I had a teacher at school. She goes, I don't think running's a sport. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's a runner. And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, running is the most evolutionarily designed thing we are made for as people. Like, think about it. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's literally in our nature to run and just be, we're the best long distance creature on this planet.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm just tapping into like what I'm naturally made to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's my mindset. And then you said it's the experience component. And I think it really is. Like, if you've ran, the one guy, he ran 88 100 mile races in his life. Think 88 100 mile races. At that point, running for 28 hours is nothing.
Yeah.
That's insane.
You know? Like,
wow. So, goal-wise, I want to ask for you.
Yeah.
Is it to get 150, or is it to get
a better time?
Better time? Is it to do this same race 89 times?
I don't want to be versatile. So yeah. Right now I'm just trying to get experience in extreme distances. Okay. So 100, you know, they have the Cocodona 250, which is one that's been like, looks cool. There's the Tahoe 200, which was in, I don't know where that one was. Some, my Skyfall on Jeremy Pratt just ran it. Just ran it this past weekend. But so like, to me, I want to work to continue to like get those 100-mile races in my belt. This race actually qualified me to be in the lottery for Western States 100, which I think is like Mohican 100 is the fifth oldest ultra in the country.
Wow.
Which I didn't know about. Okay. Sitting in the backyard of Ohio. Yeah. So my next goal though is like, I want to qualify for Boston. Yeah. I want to be one of those dudes that can slap down 100, but then also come and sprint 26 right. too.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm 30 minutes off from qualifying from Boston. I ran a marathon in April. I hit squats two nights before and like destroyed my legs. Cause I think it's fun to kind of like destroy your legs and see what you could do.
That sounds like so much fun.
Sounds like a Saturday night to me.
So we terrorized our legs Friday and Saturday, and then we had the race Sunday, and I managed to pull off a PR of 3 hours and 30 minutes. Like best marathon, like previous best marathon before that, I think was like 4:30. So I shaved like an hour off. And I was just like, I finished and I was like, dude, like, I also had a cramp that added 8 minutes. Like, I was a half mile from the stadium. Yeah. I could see it. And my leg felt like somebody just put a Barrett in the back of my leg.
Oh, I feel like, that, man.
I was going to ask about the cramps, too. Do you have any secrets? Like, I remember when my sister played soccer, the secret was, well, not a secret, but one of the quick fixes they did was mustard. So they would literally throw these girls mustard packets while they're on the field, because soccer's a sport where you can't sub out and then sub someone back in. They would literally rip them with their teeth and just rip mustard packets. Like, that's what it was. I didn't, like, is that an actual thing? Do you have any tricks or anything for when you get a cramp? Because nothing's worse than when you get the cramps, like, especially, like, below the rib or whatever.
Yeah.
It's such a mental game, and it's like, I can't even, like move the right way.
It feels like you're literally, like, paralyzed for the moment.
Yeah. I'll show you the video of me finishing the marathon. Double leg cramps. Right leg just wasn't working. It was just swinging along with the left. It's hilarious.
See, to me, that's where, like, maybe I am different. Like, to me, that is fun, like, just fucking your body up and seeing what can happen.
Oh, yeah.
The best
didn't feel fun in the moment.
Yeah. Preston had a fucking blast.
I promise you that was not fun to me.
But there's a lot of moments of fear in there. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But what I learned about running is, if you're already thirsty, you're behind.
Yeah.
If you're cramping, you're behind. So like, the main thing is like, and it's why the backyard format really helped me form good habits, is because I'm thinking about what is going in my body every hour.
Yeah.
You know, so like before I cramp, I'm taking a salt tablet. Okay. And that's essentially what they're getting from probably the mustard, is like the sodium and like, it's like anything that works for you. I know Gatorlite, they have these packets that when I worked with athletes, football players would be cramping, you'd lay them down, drop some, literally it's pretty much salt and water into their mouth, and cramp goes away right away. So like, you can be preemptive.
I'll take some of those.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. So like, you
love that.
You could be preemptive, but I think if you are going for like raw speed and pushing yourself, like, I think you're going to experience cramps.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's just breathing through it in the moment. Because when I hit that cramp a half mile out, I literally started thinking to myself, like, you go into panic mode.
Oh, my God.
You're like, how the fuck am I going to make it another half mile when I can't even move my leg?
Yeah.
You know, and I just had to sit there and, like, get calm, because I started to get flustered that I was losing places. People were passing me. And I told myself, well, if you don't finish, then you're really fucked.
Right.
You know, so I just had to stand there and just, like, drink my water, try to stretch it out, tell myself that, like, all pain does have an end. Like, all pain has a finish line. And within 5 to 6 minutes, it faded, and I was able to jog my way, jog my way in, and like, two more cramps arose, and I, you know, we twitched across the finish line. But that would be the one tip I'd throw out there, is just really get to know your body and like, when it starts to tweak out.
Have you ever been running and like, something weird happened in your body that you're like, oh, I've never felt this before when I'm running?
A lot.
Yeah,
and I think it's your brain. Your brain will do anything to like, find data points to work against you.
Yeah.
So like, I'll be run, like, it was funny, dude. The first 10 miles of my 100 miler, I started having tightness in my left foot, and I was like, dude, like, I don't have, like, where is this coming from? Like, right. I don't normally have tightness in my left foot.
Yeah.
And it's all literally of just like, telling your legs to shut the fuck up.
Right.
Like, it will fade. Like, the whole key is highs and lows. Because your body, I think, is going to, like, try psyching you out. You know, it's going to tell you, like, hey, like, you have been running 10 miles. Like, your quad has a right to scream a little bit, you know? But it's like, how can you just really tell that fucking leg to shut up? Like, and that's what I did this last time. And it was fun because I had the belief in myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, I visualized myself. My favorite part was mile 75. And it was funny how, like, when you have a vision, like, I envisioned myself coming out of this race, and I didn't know when it was going to happen, but just, like, feeling electric. I was, like, meditating over it for weeks and months now, and, like, I thought it was going to happen at OBU round two. I thought it was going to happen at OBU round three. It happened at Mohican, but I came out of the woods, like, mile 75, pitch black, and I was jazzed, man. Yeah. I was just, like, so excited because I thought I was going to be destroyed. And I was riding the biggest high of my life. It was 3 a.m. I was just, like, pitch black. And I actually ran the whole third loop with my friend. But I was so fired up. I was like, I want to take the dark on by myself. And so I grabbed my pack, grabbed what I needed. And I just went back into the darkness alone from, like, 77 to, like, 84. You know, this was, like, working to find my brother. And this was a really daunting stretch because you just ran an entire loop for 8 hours in the dark. You're now starting the next loop. Like, birds are starting to chirp. I was hallucinating a little because I was sleep deprived. There was a little puddle that I thought was, I look at it, I was like, it's either an abyss or a black bear. And my buddy's like, dude, what are you talking about? Then the trees start to look like people. And it was just really, like, what was cool is, like, I had this strategy to start slow, finish hard. Mm-hmm. I made up, like, 60 places in the last two laps. So, like, damn. In the night, I was just, like, picking people off. Like, David Goggins calls it taking souls. So, like, I would see somebody in the woods, and I'm like, I'm going to get in front of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in front of them. And we just kept moving up the leaderboard, moving up. And
that's fucking nuts.
It was savage, dude. And, like, what really was funny, though, is I was like, I'm going to take this one segment slow. And there was a guy who was in bad shape. Like, this dude was, like, not talking. He was on the ground. And this is, like, mile 88. You know what I mean? Like, your body's at a pretty dangerous, like, level.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy wasn't talking, you know? And I was just, like, and the girl he was with is, like, you need to go tell camp. We got a guy down. Camp's 3.5 miles away. And, like, you're already 88 miles in. So I'm, like, I'm going to move as fast as I can. It's like a grandpa walk, you know? But, yeah. Like, little things like that happened in that dark where it's like, I wanted to take it slow for that segment, but I don't know. The universe was like, you got to get your ass in gear and move a little quicker.
Yeah.
Like,
did you feel obligated to pick up the pace when that dude was on the ground?
I did.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, I there's a mutual respect within ultra running of, like, yeah, it's competitive, but, like, everybody here is
like pushing. That guy could be seriously, like,
he could be dying.
Yeah.
Like right. His internal, like, and that's why I was frustrated. I found out after the fact he was just having some, like, leg pain. I mean, shouldn't say frustrated, but, like, he was having leg pain and he didn't say it. Mm-hmm. All he needed to say was, like, my leg's messed up. But, like, as soon as you go into a non-responsive state.
That's like, let's take care of
it. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm now going to do what I think needs to happen.
Right.
You know? So, luckily, very blessed. He was all right and everything. But, like, it's a serious, like, it's serious.
Right.
You know, your health is on the line. You were riding fine margins for that entire time.
100%. It's fucking nuts, dude.
Have you ever come out of running with an injury?
Nah, he just ran through it.
When I first started running, I would experience some legs. So when I started, I was 225, 230.
Okay.
So I'm 195 now. Wow, so good for you. Had a lot of
extra.
Eating apple fritters and Oreos and
Coke, without the mileage. Without the mileage. And I actually worked with a sports specialist at my school. He put me in a VO2 max test, and he goes, if you can, well, first he looked at me, he goes, just to be frank, your cardiovascular is shit. He goes, how you ran the first 50 miler was through sheer muscling it. Like, literally, he goes, you had the muscle mass to just take it. But he goes, if you actually work on becoming faster, if you can keep a little bit of muscle mass and be fast, you have more insulation.
Mm.
He said, if you're really skinny, like, a lot of the really skinny distance runners are more subjective to repetitive stress injuries.
Right.
So he literally, like, and I, it's why I've tried to stay a little bigger, because I'm like, okay, like, on top of now having a good cardiovascular system, I have extra insulation for my legs to take that pounding.
Yeah.
You know, versus somebody who is maybe 120, doesn't have a whole lot of muscle mass and could just beat the shit out of their body, you know? I mean, they might be hamster fast, you know, but like their body's going to take it a different way. And my new thing that I realized, if I want to like take it to the next level, is I need to do yoga. I need to get into yoga.
My
flexibility is trash.
Yoga is tough in itself. That might be harder than 100 miles.
Some forms of it that they do, dude, for sure.
That's hilarious. Have you seen the goat yoga with like the goats that walk around? I don't know what the fuck.
It's like a goat and cat yoga.
Yeah, there's like all kinds of shit. No, what I think's hilarious about running. The day I met you at UXL at 6:30 in the morning, all right? It's like 6:30. Everyone's a little, you know, it's still morning. Everyone's got a little. Him and Austin Smith get back from this 3-mile run. I remember it was 3 miles because Austin came out of his way to tell me he just got back from a 3-mile run. That's what I think's fucking hilarious about running. Austin was in the best fucking mood because you pushed him to run 3 miles that day. That's tough for him. He'd probably admit it because you could tell with the way this kid was glowing. He was stretching and everything. He was like, he felt good about himself for that 3 miles. That's how I would feel.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, were going back out after. He sits in the fucking sauna, and then he's like, yeah, I'm going to probably go run like 10 to 15 today. He was like talking. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, 3 miles for me, I'd be like, I'm fucking good for the week. That's what I think is cool about what you're doing is there's always you can keep going. It's just like a, you know what I mean? The wheels keep spinning. You, like you said, it's kind of a mental battle, and I love that about it.
It is, and I think what's really fun with running is, you know, we all make, like, when it comes to things that are good for us, myself included, I don't have time for that. If you get good, you can run a mile in 10 minutes. Everybody's got 10 minutes. Or even if you're going to walk a mile, you got 20 minutes to go 1 mile in your day.
Right.
And, you know, when I started thinking about it like that, I'm like, okay, like, for people who are trying to get into it, you don't need to run your whole 7 at once. If you need to run 2 in the morning and another 2 in the evening to get your miles in, or maybe to give your body that recovery to do so, like, that's really important. And that's all comes from, like, listening to your body, having that self-dialogue. And you always can push yourself that extra 0.2, that extra 0.3, and that alone, like, people should pat themselves on the back for that.
Where's the fine line between listening to your body and pushing yourself?
I think that's muscles versus organs.
Okay.
I think that's kind of like what I hit on before is like, and that's why I was excited for this 100 miler because like in the ultra running community, they talk about the pain cave, which is like when your muscles literally are going. Like, my Achilles felt like it was going to snap at mile 82.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, in my head, I was like, I don't know if I can go another 18 miles with an Achilles that feels like a rock-hard cable cord.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in that moment, though, like, it was that kind of, like, crazy side of, like, my leg's going to have to fucking snap to pull me off this trail, at this point. But I think when it comes to training, there's race day mentality and training mentality. Training mentality, you got to make it to the start line healthy. If that means you don't hit as high an intensity or as high mileage leading up to the race, that's okay. As long as you make it to the start line healthy, you can set a new PR. You can at least have the opportunity. But if you push yourself beyond healthy limits in training and you are at the start line with hamstring issues, you're fucked from the beginning.
Right.
You know, and I read this book about an Olympic marathon runner, and that's what he said. He goes, it might be hard to like mentally know you didn't get in all the long runs or the speed workouts, but knowing that you at least got to the start line healthy, you have a chance. So that's kind of been my mentality for that.
For sure.
I will say, on top of this, to run 100 miles, and I mean this in the most complimentive way I can, okay? You got to be a little fucking nuts.
Yeah, no, you do.
Like, I'm not even trying. You got to be a little, like, fucking wired differently, which isn't a bad thing.
No, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a David Goggins, that dude is wired fucking differently. He will be the first, but he makes you want to fucking run through a wall. It's like, damn, I'm a worthless piece of shit compared, you know what I mean? Because he's got the same thing as you, is like, why not? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to be wired a little differently to do shit like this.
Yes. And I think the other thing that I really wanted to, like, hit on today was letting yourself have healthy obsessions.
Yeah.
Like, letting yourself be so fucking nuts about something. Like, we get so crazy about sports. We get so crazy about going out on Saturday. Like, why can't we get that fired up about, like, our dream or, like, so whatever true. It is, you know? And it's, like, that was something I had to really do is, like, let myself just come out. And I know I'm a little wacky, you know? Like, I know, like, in
everybody is. Everybody just finding is. It and you're using and it to a good way, it, though. Yeah.
You know, because, like, I think there's such a fine line between like dangerous crazy and healthy crazy, you know? And like, to me, I felt dangerous crazy for a while when I was young in college, just doing wild shit. And like, to me, I have that same mindset. Like, I'm wild. Yeah. But I just channeled it over to this realm instead of this realm.
Right.
Instead of drugs and drinking, it's running and physical endurance.
That's
so
right.
It's like, and mental health. So it's like, I still got that itch. It's just a different realm.
Do you make comparisons? Like, all right, you're about to go run 100 miles. Is that, are you thinking like, all right, that's from here to this location?
Yeah, dude.
Because when I told my girlfriend I was running a marathon, she's like, that is literally from my house in Brunswick to Cleveland State. I'm like, let's not think of it that way because that's fucked up to think about.
So at least getting it on 71.
Or back roads. We'll take Pearl all the way down.
Yeah, we're hitting all the green lights though, right? That's freaking nuts. 100 miles. I mean, how far is that from here?
That's Columbus.
Columbus.
I was going to say, it's Columbus, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, I got a buddy right now, Tanner Lee. He's a savage. He's lives in Kentucky. He's planning a race from the northeastern tip of Kentucky to the southwest tip. I think it's like 220,
230
mile run.
Is that all?
But it's cool, dude. Like, some people will grab a credit card, start in Columbus, and just move west of the border for 150 miles, like going gas station to gas station. And, like,
wow.
You can get, like, just.
That's kind of cool the way you look. Like, that is sweet because that's kind of like that whole, like, stop, you get your snack, you go.
Yeah,
it's kind of
like you just focus on, like, getting to the next aid station, you know? And I think what's cool is I learned there's a community out there.
Oh, yeah.
I thought running was, for me, it was a solo thing.
Yeah.
And then I went to an event and I'm like, there's a bunch of other fucking crazies out there. there's some crazier people than me. Like,
right.
I know this one person who went 500 miles on the Colorado Trail. Like, and he's 25, and like, he just, people do this shit casually, and I'm just like, but I also, you ask about comparing
myself.
Did you
just say 500 miles?
Yeah, so it must have taken probably like five, like, it was probably more like a combo hike run, but still, like, 500 miles, like, that's 500 miles.
Like, that's, that is
fucking, I don't care what you're doing. Yeah. That's insane.
But I think it's important, and like you, the comparison factor you brought up, it's money, because I could easily run 100 miles and look at somebody else and be like, well, I'm not shit. Like, you know, you can beat yourself up a lot. And I think being willing to learn from other people and like get excited and cheering other people on for their victories and knowing like my time is going to come, you know, and you just got to keep working at it. And once again, just compare yourself to who you were yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's the biggest thing.
Think about perspective in that too. 500 miles. I'd get in my car, right? I'd fucking plug in my GPS. I'm going somewhere. And I see 500 miles. I'm fucking pissed.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, so what the fuck am I going to do for 500 miles?
Yeah.
That he's just running. He like, that is like, that shows you that literally that mindset.
Is that too much time with yourself? Because at some point, you want to have some human interaction, right? Like, that might be too much time.
Learn a lot about yourself in 500 miles. You learn everything. I don't think there's anything else left to learn. You learn about the left foot cramps that come in.
Bro, it's life in a day, man. And I think it's, you go through every emotion in the book. Like, I'll come out and I'll be bawling my eyes. I'll come out and be enraged. And it's like,
you're laughing about how crazy it is.
Dude, I mean, like you're just in the middle of the woods. It's pitch black, 4 o'clock in the morning. You're like, everyone, like, I'm here voluntarily.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you're literally just, I had my hiking poles my buddy let me use for the last lap, and I was just one step at a time. And it's, you just like, I want to get back.
Yeah.
I want to do another 100 and get back into that space of just like, this sucks, but like, my legs can do it.
Yeah.
How many people did the 100 mile?
So this is what's wild.
How many attempted and how many
169
finished?
169 attempted, 69, or no, might something like that. It was like 169 attempted, 69 didn't even finish. So like, yeah.
I want to put that into perspective. My marathon, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people at this start line. Just think about how many less people that is. Because I was going to say, like, what's the energy like? And it's probably insane, but like, at a marathon, there's so many people. Everyone's pumped up. I mean, there's only 170 of you guys, and that's insane to think about.
And it's like, it's middle of the morning. It's 4:35 in the morning, right. So it's quiet. It's not like there's boom, boom, you got like all the city and like everyone's lively, people are drinking.
When I went and watched him finish that marathon, I'll tell you what, that atmosphere is fucking awesome.
It's electric.
Like, yes, it's fucking awesome. You're like, I wish I was fucking out there. And then you see the fucking girl puking 500 and you're like, no, I don't. I'm glad I'm sitting right here.
Dude, no, and it's a totally different beast because I love those, that environment too. Yeah. I got a little bit of that with the Athens, but like to me, I do like that isolation. Like I get hype from like nobody's out here.
Yeah.
Like nobody's out here. You finish and like they're like, you know, David Goggins says it, be uncommon amongst the uncommon. And I think it is exciting when you're like, all right, I am the youngest there. And like, I got scared a lot during that race because I was talking with 50-year-olds and they're like, they were telling me, they're like, you know, like took me 3 times running Mohican to finish this. And like, so I started like getting a little psyched out. Yeah. Like, am I going to be able to do this today?
Yeah.
And I just really had to double down on my own belief system in myself of like, today is your day.
Yeah. Right.
Like the past 4 races, not everything is was able to get sewed together, but like,
yeah.
We sewed that shit up, and it was, I mean, dude, I was crying. Like, I had to stop myself from crying at, like, mile 90 because, like, I could smell it.
I could see it.
Yeah. I knew it was coming. And, like, to have my brother, I mean, I remember it was, like, a mile out, and my brother was, like, pushing me, and I hit the runner's high. And my buddy I was running with, he's like, dude, he's like, going to take it a little slower to the finish. And I was just like, dude, like, I want to run through this finish.
I want to go as hard as I fucking can.
And I looked at my brother and I was like, I'll see you, man. And I just like took off on a sprint the last mile.
That's
and like,
fucking awesome.
I made up one more place, which isn't a big deal, but like.
But it kind of is.
I set a new value to be more competitive and to allow myself to want to win things. And that was like a new mentality I've been working on. Like, I'm allowed to want to compete.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to be so modest. And it was fun, dude. I just. Like, I mean, as soon as you finish, your body goes numb.
Yeah. Tell me about what happened when you crossed that finish line. What was everything the next couple hours like after?
Yeah.
Immediately after, next couple hours.
Immediately after, I just grabbed my buddy and I just started crying.
Yeah.
Because he knows what I've been going through just like with family and like how hard it was to just get to this race.
Right.
And so we just hugged each other and cried. And it was kind of tough. He actually had to boogie out because he had to go pick his son up in Cleaver and Avon. So he had to make a drive. Like, after 30 hours of no sleep, he had to get in the car and drive to Avon to go see his son. So like, we didn't get to chat a whole lot after, but me and my brother got to hang out. And like, he took me to Subway, and I was like gonna cry in the sub. I felt like I was gonna cry in the Subway line. Like, I'm standing there just like almost on my knees, and the lady, I had to just tell the lady, I was like, I'm fucked up. Like, I just steak and cheese.
Just toss some shit on there, and it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, surprise
me. I might
me.
Not like it, but it
surprise
doesn't
me. It's all gonna fucking taste the same. Just bring it here.
You know, and I didn't stay too long at the race. You know, I got my buckle, and you know that's the signature for a 100-mile race is you get a belt buckle. And
wow.
To me, like. That was badass. And you only got it if you finished in under 30. So to finish in 28 hours and 33 minutes, like, you know, I was pumped, man. Like,
yeah.
I've never worked harder for a damn piece of metal in my life.
Right.
Like, and I went home and I was on cloud 9. I didn't take that thing out of my pocket. I had this hoodie on. I had my hat on. And I was just like, I'm sometimes bad about letting myself feel...
Yeah.
And endure, like, just to feel out something good. Like,
yeah.
I worked my ass off. Like, I'm allowed to, like, not immediately think about the next thing I have
right.
to do. So, like, I just went home and, like, laid on the couch, like, tried putting pillows all over my legs because it was in so much pain. And just smashed some food and passed out for 4 hours, woke up, ate, it's like, me and my brother got 2 Domino's pizzas, some wings, smashed that, went back to bed, and... We got back out there the day after. Hit a couple miles and
you fucking ran the day after.
Shut up.
Because we got the 130 day. We had to keep the streak alive. So it
shut
was like
the fuck up. Are
my,
you serious?
I woke,
oh my god.
I woke up and I couldn't walk up the stairs in my house. Or like
yeah.
In my,
I mean,
and my brother's like, he's like, dude. He's like, you running today? I was like, we got like 20 hours to like find out how we can make this happen. You know, because like my legs were in no shape to run.
Yeah.
So like we woke up and. You know, it was just a game of, like, how can we not break the streak? And I think it was, like, 5-6 o'clock at night. We got to the gym, and we just, like, we just hit the treadmill. We said, we're going to get something in, you know? And we just threw another 2 miles down, and it was only 2, but, like...
Dude, I skipped class the next day after a marathon. You ran 100 and then ran more the next day. Holy shit.
Yeah.
How do you... Jeff Anzo, you just ran 100 miles. What are you going to do next?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go run.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to get on the fucking treadmill.
That's like loving the process, though. You know, that to me is like, I've really tried, like I used to document all my running, and I learned I became more upset. Like I liked documenting my runs more than actually just running and enjoying the runs.
Yeah.
And my buddy asked me, he's like, why don't you like vlog more on runs? And I was like, I did, but like my values got misaligned. So like the last 2 years have been like all about just, it's why the podcast kind of faded. I was like, I want to just do this shit and work in the dark and like see where that takes me rather than I'll be on a run thinking about what am I going to say at the end of my run on the story. Like, fuck that. That's not why I do this. It shouldn't be why I do it.
Right.
You know, and that's external motivation. And I needed to find internal motivation.
For sure.
Do you feel you found that? Like, do you feel like you're at a place to start the podcast, start maybe doing some blogs and stuff? I mean, 100 miles, like you said, that was a big goal that you just hit. Right now, I mean, Preston and I'll tell you what, I will speak for both of us, we're both feeling pretty damn inspired right now.
I mean, the fact
that you got on the fucking treadmill tonight, I mean, everything from top to bottom, the shit you're going through, the way you just, you know, the psychological battle, everything from top to bottom is amazing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you can open up on that external energy? Because I'll tell you what, you'll inspire a fucking great amount of people that listen to this.
For sure.
I mean that, hand over the Bible, whatever you want me to say, I promise you, I mean that. Do you feel like it's time to maybe go back into that, or are you still in that phase where you think you still have more to find out about yourself?
I know. It's time. And me and my buddy, little fun project, not going to like give too much about it, but we're working on some like clothing stuff. Forever Forward will be the brand. You know,
nice.
I love the quote Forever Forward.
I was going to say, that's a fucking awesome name.
And
I was just going to say that.
So we're working on some stuff behind the scenes with that. Currently, I do life coaching. So like one-on-one for anybody out there who's like wants to you know, really take this shit serious, figure out how you can get to the next level, create synchronicity, mental health, spiritual well-being, physical well-being. That's kind of what I do. And then related to that motivation to get back into this, there's so much I've learned from going through it myself where I'm like, I want to share it because I know I'm not alone. And like, I know other people, like I share these stories and people are like, damn, like, I don't know if I can do that. Or maybe I can do that.
Right.
Or like my buddy, he's like, I finished. He goes, well, maybe I'm going to try to sign up for a 5K, you know? And I'm like, I might even like change the name of the podcast to Ultramind. You know, I was thinking of like something like basically I just want to interview people who are doing like solely runners or just, you know, just doing wild shit and just like letting people have an inside scoop of their brain because we might like see people do these things. Or maybe you're even thinking about me right now and you're like, oh, this dude's like out there, like, I was somebody who was 235, drinking every day, dipping, smoking dope. Like,
right.
I did that, you know? And I know a lot of people think, like, it's hard to find that connectivity, but you can do it too.
Do you still drink?
I do drink. I do, you know, and I enjoy it, actually.
Right.
I actually enjoy when I can have a night out and, like, go with my buddies and, like, have a couple drinks. And, like, it's not, oh, it's Saturday, I need to go out.
Right.
It's, you know, I just finished my race. Like,
I earned this.
I earned it. And me and my buddy, I was so happy to like drive back to town and like go out with him on Tuesday. And like, yeah, I got pretty weird. But like, I still ran the day and the day after, you know? And like, to me, it was, I needed to deserve it. Like, I think we live in a culture now where it's like, we're celebrating every week. But what the fuck are we celebrating if we're honestly thinking about it? Like,
yeah.
Congrats, you did your responsibility to survive the week.
Right.
Like, yeah, and I'm not like, and I say this also talking to myself because I'm guilty of all of these things.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It really was that mindset of like, what am I celebrating?
Right.
Like, I just failed an exam.
Like, right.
You know,
right.
Like,
why am I, right.
That is a cool ass take though that you, like, he asked you if you drank, and like most people would sit here and be like, no, I haven't drank alcohol in years. That's cool that you have a different perspective.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
So
people aren't like, oh, so I have to give up everything to become good at something?
And no.
I feel like that's an important part that people don't talk about, is that you might have to give it up for a little bit to become good at something or focus on something, but then you slowly work it back in moderation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've been talking with a lot of people, and they're like, oh, I just like don't want to drink ever again or don't want to do these things ever again. And I'm like, is that realistic? Like, I mean, especially if you genuinely like maybe you like whiskey or you like, you know, like
right.
that's, you enjoy it.
Right.
You know, I think we're allowed to do these things, like you said, but it's moderation, you know, even with like smoking and like things like that. Like, know yourself, know your goals. If it's impeding on your goal, readjust.
Right.
You know, and that's what it comes down
Clip
to.
Clip that shit. That was good. I like that. No.
So who is Jeff outside of being a runner? Where are you going?
What's your favorite? Life? What's your favorite fucking meal? Can I ask you that? Let's start off with a simple question. Like, if you fucking sat down,
I've been making pasta, bro. So I make homemade pasta noodles. Okay. I have a pasta maker.
Yeah.
Did you bring some?
Next time we'll have to do round two.
He ran here, so he couldn't carry it.
Yeah.
When he takes the car next time, he will.
I'd say I really do like pasta, especially now that I've been like making more of it homemade, like making the dough, getting all into it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a nice basil, lemon and basil light pasta with some chicken, like grilled chicken in there. Yeah.
Kicking it back from a chef.
Pasta, baby. That's the way to get it going.
I love that.
Jeff takes running to the store seriously, though.
Yeah, you say, let's go run. I'm going to be, what? Where?
So when you run with someone, I want to ask real fast, and then we'll go back to his question. Just that run with Austin. Obviously, you could probably run a little faster than Austin. Do you tone it back to run with him, or did you guys run at different paces? Like, what's the idea there?
I got, like, once again, know who you're running with.
Yeah.
You know, if Austin has a slower pace, my mentality is I'm going to push your ass.
Yeah.
I'm going to push you. I'm going to make you, like, you know, because a lot of the times within running, I genuinely think most people could run a 5K right now.
I think so,
you
too.
You know what I mean? You know, yeah, like, for sure. We psych ourselves out. Yeah. You could walk it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you could walk the last mile, but majority of people could finish a 5K. So for me, it's like when I run with people, if it's somebody who's newer to running, my thought is I want them to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want them to be like, dude, I'm never fucking going again. You know, but like Austin, you said he was on a high. He finished and he was feeling really good. Like, you know, he's hit me back up. Like, we're going to make this a routine 3 days a week to do that.
He's in shape, you know? Dude. He's in shape, too. But like I said, that morning, and I know you could feel it on him, too. He, like, he's like, yeah, we just ran three. Like, he's fucking
jazzed up.
He had a swagger to him that, like, nobody could have provided to him besides that run. Like,
yeah.
That's what I thought was cool. So then back to Preston's question. Who is Jeff outside of running? He's genuine.
I'm a simple bear. So, like, I guess the easiest way to just get to know me is a couple years ago I did a work, like, an exercise at a conference I went to where I identified my values. You know, I didn't know what my values were.
Yeah.
It was a really funny thing. And this lady put a chart down and she's like, what do you care about? Like, who do you want to be? And I went through this list of like hundreds of values and I narrowed it down to love, zest, and authenticity. I want to be loving. I want to feel authentic and I want to be energetic and bring my full presence to whatever I do. So that's kind of like how Genuine Jeff came about, you know,
yeah.
And just I really started because like growing up, I used to spend, not even fuck growing up, college 3 years ago, I would spend an hour and a half trying to pick out a t-shirt because I cared so much about what other people were going to think about me. I was like not the best mentally within the past 4 or 5 years, you know, like
it's cool
until
you
my
can recognize that
it took me good in my master's. I graduated my bachelor's and by no means was like ready to go with some of this stuff, you know, and it was just tough. Like I remember, and it all comes back to like childhood shit. Like I remember growing up, I loved my mom to death. You know, we started getting acne as kids and we start getting acne, and my mom, the one day I remember, she's like, do you want to like put some cover up on your acne as a kid? You know, like something you naturally have. And I think like little things like that as a childhood, mom had a great intention of just like trying to like literally just like, hey, like fuck, like, I don't even know. But that became something where like I became so self-conscious about natural things about myself.
Yeah.
So like to me, the past couple years have just been like doing what I love regardless of like what anybody fucking thinks. So like I love reading books. Like I used to have the worst reading comprehension. My mom had to put me through all these reading comp classes and extra shit as a kid. And now I love it.
Yeah.
It's funny. Same thing with running.
Yeah.
Like I hated it as a kid, but now I love it. So like what you could find me doing in my free time is reading, working on my coaching business, running. And I'm a quality over quantity guy. So like I have a couple close homies and like we see each other when we can, but like I'm also not somebody like, you know me, I can spend time alone. I don't need to have social fixes every single week. I'm easy going. I don't know. I'm a simple client.
For sure. I like that.
All the animal references there.
I like it.
I'm a bear, a velociraptor. I got a little gazelle in me.
And for 100 miles, he becomes every fucking animal in the jungle.
What do you need me to be?
Jeff, I got to ask. You keep saying you're blessed. How religious are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah.
When did you find God? I notice you have the cross earring. I just like asking these questions. If you're not cool with it, all good.
I am cool with it because I think these are important. I went to
Sorry, I was looking at the battery. I didn't mean to rattle you. I'm just making sure we weren't going to die. No. I was trying to say we were good.
Jared doesn't want me to go
here.
Jared's
like, no, I'm sorry. Don't go here. Well, before we started something, I wanted to make sure that thing's not flashing and, like, we're about to lose everything. All right.
So, it's funny you asked that. I went to St. Ambrose for 8 years growing up.
Yeah.
Completely fell out of my religion.
Mm-hmm.
Completely fell out due to some just personal reasons, you know. I know some people in the LGBT community. So, like, to me, when I started looking at things on paper, I was like, okay, well, like, I love these people, but I'm told to love this place, but they're not accepted, X, Y, and Z. So, like, I fell out after eighth grade, went to college, and kind of, like, I was very angry with the church, like, super angry. And but I had a belief that there was a spiritual essence. So I started learning about Buddhism, Stoicism. I started reading books on all these things. And I started finding commonalities. And I was like, okay. And this was one of my favorites. You know, there's Buddhist monks who lit themselves on fire in protest. Have either of you heard about this?
No.
It was like in the 50s or 60s, but they sat in the street, dumped gasoline on themselves, and lit themselves on fire. And they didn't flinch. And this went on like national media and news and shit like that. And I started thinking, knowing what I know about like Jesus and the crucifixion, and I was like, okay, like, if two monks can light themselves on fire and not flinch, why is it absurd to think somebody could be crucified and endure that?
Right.
You know, so I started like, and I'm a science guy. So I got a book called Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus. My ex's mom gave it to me. And I was like, I started reading this book and it was like the archaeology of like religion and like, how was he able to speak to thousands of people at this time or with no microphone? And they started finding out that he was actually speaking in natural rock amphitheaters that was projected. You know, like there was a lot more that we just chalk up as BS and the Fugazi that's actually like, no, there's a reason this shit was going down. And I've been more inclined to have a relationship with God because now my relationship with God is between me and him. It's not, I don't, because when I came back to church for the first time in like 6-7 years within the past two, I started to put way too much power into the people speaking. And once again, you know, what I messed up with in first through eighth grade, and these people started saying, like, this priest said some shit. And I was just, I looked around the room, and everyone was nodding and agreeing.
It's like,
and I was like, I don't agree with this.
Yeah.
It's like, I really don't agree with this. Like, this is... Like, he started it off with saying, I'm about to say something I couldn't say at the Brunswick Church because they were filming. And I was just like, Annie just gave a lecture about, like, unconditional love. And, you know, I was just like, okay, like, red flags were going up in my head. I haven't been back since.
Yeah.
And it was really hurtful because I was just like, damn, like, I was just so mentally confused again. And then the next, like within the next 3 days, I went out in the woods and ran. And like the Lord just brought me to my knees again. Like, you know, like I could feel God just bring me to my knees. And I get the chills thinking about it. And I'm like, this is a relationship with the universe. This is God.
Right.
I was banking on the man on the stage being able to be the facilitator for this. And I haven't been back since. And it taught me that rather than listening to people on stage, I need to get into the book itself and teach myself. So I started reading the Bible, and like I got an older version of the Bible. And I sit there and I treat it like a damn textbook. And I'm like, I break it down. I try to understand it. And like, I think if we did that more, maybe we would be a little more open to learning about different religions. Because like I've been able to find connections between a lot of these different philosophies and belief systems. And it's upsetting when people are like, oh, you like, we play the label game. You're this, I'm that. We immediately should have conflict. And I'm like, it blows my mind. And like, the last thing I always love sharing in that book, Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus. So like, how churches, Jesus wouldn't know what a church is if he hit him in the face today. But back then, it was radical debate. They wanted people to be in a room all reading the text together saying, I disagree, I agree, what do you think this means? Versus what do we have now?
Right.
It's one person on stage sharing their thoughts of how everything is and everyone sits there and agrees or disagrees.
Right.
You know, how cool would it be if you had like five people like, I don't know, this is what it means to me, this is how I see it, you know? And like,
you're right.
We don't get that.
That's community.
That's what it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it was originally formed as.
Right.
But we've gotten so far away to where it's like, give the man on, like, and not all priests and pastors, you know, I don't want to bash it. Like, there's some really good places you can go,
yeah.
But there is some places you go that I think the values might be a little constrained.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting.
That's very well said again.
And the more messed up part is that I think there's places where it's a lot money back, too. There's, I mean, that is not what the church should be about, in my opinion.
Pass the money bag around. Everybody, right? you know what I'm saying? They give a big homily, but then they pass that around, and I'm like, you're trying to jack us up to feel good? And then,
right.
You know, like.
Right, right. It's like, what is this? Is this a religion, or is this a business? I think it comes too close sometimes.
It does, and it's unfortunate because I'm like, it's such a powerful thing.
The message shouldn't be different if we're in a field or if we're in a multi-million-dollar facility. No. You know,
it shouldn't be.
It's you guys are right.
It's wild because like I went for 8 years, like I said, right. And it tainted it so much for me. You know, like. I mean, shit, we weren't allowed to have our hair below our eyebrows. We weren't allowed to have our socks show. I'm like, how does that, why, does God actually care about those things?
Right.
Like, if I'm loving my friends on a daily basis, does he care if my hair is below my eyebrows? I don't think so.
And I feel like most of the time you're forced as a kid to go. You know what I mean? Like, it's religion's more pushed upon you than it is where you go find it. Until you get to an older age. Like, I feel like if I told my kid, hey, we're going to church this week, and he dreaded it. Why would I make him go? Shouldn't that be something that you look forward to going to?
It should be your choice.
Yeah.
Church was a chore when I was a kid.
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to church Sunday.
It's Sunday. Everyone dreaded it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Sunday should be the best day of the week wanting to go there. If you dread it, why are you going? Do you do anything else in life that you dread?
Yeah.
Obviously, besides work or some shit, but, like, you got to do that.
Yep.
And it's tough because, like, especially as kids, like, we are really our minds are really vulnerable.
Yeah.
And for us to be, like, this is how it should be and, like, you need to go. I think the most powerful thing was me stepping away.
Yeah.
And then me having to consciously say, I want to check this out again. And, like, having to go get in your car and drive by yourself, that you talk to yourself a little differently versus mom and dad are driving and we're just going along for the train.
For sure.
You know?
I think it's cool, too, with people who do crazy things, whether it be in church or whether it be running 100 miles or, you know, doing whatever it is, they all find a way to just educate themselves and continuously keep growing and growing and growing their knowledge, their body, everything. Like you said, no one handed you the keys to be able to do what you've done. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't a person that was like, yep, this is what you're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. I think you said it was 2 weeks out. You started eating fucking apple fritters or right around that time period. That's when you found out, like, you literally, like, have just trial and error. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to read that. I think that is literally what the successful people have in common.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, how the fuck did they get here? Because they put themselves in positions. They kept growing. They kept growing. And that's, I think, like I said, you just can do crazy things when people do that.
No doubt.
Embrace failure. You know, like, what it comes down to. And I love Gary Vee, somebody I listen to, always talks about it. Like, we're going to make mistakes all the time, every single day. And if you make a mistake and you let it psych you out from taking that next step, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, learn, like, actually consider what is in the process of success. It's failure. Like, two things that we don't like to acknowledge, and Brene Brown talks about it. She's like, she's a psychologist, and she's like, you know, I love when I talk with people about dreams and success and being authentic, and they say, like, oh, it might be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be problems. There's going to be challenges. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to get angry. You're going to cry.
Yeah.
But you're also going to have feelings of joy, happiness, aha moments. You're going to have those lights come on, and there's no yin with no yang. You know,
mm-hmm.
Alan Watts, I love it. There's no prickles with goo. We don't know one side of the spectrum without the other. So,
mm-hmm.
like, we need
perspective.
Anger. Yeah, we need it, man.
For sure.
We need it.
Dude, this has been awesome.
Yeah.
This has been terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Is there anyone you want to shout out? Anything like that? Any, you know, any last points?
Plugs.
You can go in anywhere. Yeah. Obviously,
man.
Forever Forward. What was your podcast name?
Yeah, Discover Yourself with Genuine Jeff's my podcast. Feel free to follow me on Instagram, genuine_Jeff. I'm working on a book right now.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Guy.
I can't wait for that.
We got some things coming up, cooking up. We'll definitely, when I like have some of those things finalized, come back and we'll talk through some of it.
Come
That'd
on.
Be awesome.
But for now, just look yourself in the mirror today and do something out of self-love. And it might be uncomfortable. It might be fun. But whatever it is, like, make some time to be with yourself today. I think that's all I got to throw out there. I think
that's fucking awesome. The icing to the cake right there, baby. Song of the week. I don't know what the name of it is, but it's that. What's that? I think it's Black Eyed Peas. It's like running and running. You know what I mean?
It just keeps running.
That's the song this week. Yeah. Appreciate you, Jeff. Pete, I'll take us out.
Thanks for kicking it back. Dustin and Jerry. Peace out. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Yeah. Lose control, a body and soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow. Don't get ahead, just jump into it. Y'all hear about it? The P's will do it. Get started. Get stupid. Don't worry about it. People will walk you through it step by step like an infant new kid. Inch by inch with a new solution. Transmit hits with no doubt.